Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you found us online. The message for today was recorded on July 3rd, 2016, and was delivered by Pastor David Jacobson.
There's going to be a lot of time for you to learn more about me. So for the sake of staying on task today, there's really only one thing that you need to know about me. I am a time traveler. Yes, it's true. I don't want to brag. Okay, actually, yes, it's quite amazing. Just recently, I traveled back nearly 2,000 years to ancient Israel. You don't believe me? I can tell. I can see a lot of disbelief out there. No, really. I do it all the time. It's perfectly safe. Actually, you're really not going to believe this. I took you all with me. Well, it's you in the future, so you don't remember it yet. I don't know. It gets very confusing. Don't worry about the details. But I want to tell you what happened. Because the story that we read from the 10th chapter of Luke is actually about us. We're in the Bible. So, a couple of us were sitting together in a house not far from the Sea of Galilee. We'd just started to have our lunch, and the neighbor's camel was hitched out front right next to our door. That was a vivid memory. Well, when we were enjoying our little reprieve from the summer sun, when I saw someone walking towards our house, something wasn't quite right about him. I didn't recognize him, so he definitely wasn't from around those parts, but it was more than that. He didn't have a bag. How could that be? If he's traveling without a bag, then at least he should have, I don't know, some money, but there were no sound of coins jingling. He didn't even have an extra pair of sandals. What would he do if his wore out?
This guy was just a mess. So this guy comes up to our door and he says, "Peace to this house." It's a little formal, but that's essentially the standard Jewish greeting of shalom. And I don't usually invite strangers in, I don't know about you, but something was different about this man. I invited him to come in. After all, I figured he doesn't have anything for his journey, so he's probably at least hungry and thirsty, isn't he? But as he stepped over the threshold into our home, it's really hard to explain if you weren't there, which you were, but never mind. Anyway, he walked into our house, and it was as if this, can't think of another way to explain it, it was like this wave of peace just hit me. It was a wave of hope. Maybe you've experienced something like this before. You know how some people walk into the room, and it doesn't matter what the situation is, it doesn't matter what's going on, what you were feeling like before, but you see that person walk into the room, somehow you just know everything's going to be okay. And it's not as if your circumstances have really changed, but somehow there's peace in the midst of it. Well, when this guy walked into the room, it was, I don't know, as if peace himself had walked into the room. Something actually changed within me. "My name's David," I said. "What's your name?" He said, "I'm James. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. He's on his way here. And so I've come to tell you that the kingdom of God has come near to you." Kingdom? All right, I probably should have been a little more polite to James, the disciple, but I said, "We've got the Emperor Tiberius here. I wonder what he's going to think about you and this kingdom of yours. You walked in here completely helpless. You don't even have a change of clothes, let alone a weapon. And you think you're going to set this Jesus character up as king?" Well, James said, "I can see you don't really know the history of God's people all that well. So it's going to take me some time to explain and to show you what God's kingdom is all about. It's really hard to explain if you haven't seen it for yourself. So Jesus and us, his disciples, we usually talk about it in parables. I said to him, I guess that makes sense. Sometimes things are hard to explain if you haven't seen them with your own eyes. We've got these things called fireworks. I'm imagining trying to explain them to you. It's kind of like fire that you throw up into the sky. Yeah, it's really hard to explain if you haven't seen it. And he said, let me stay with you a few days, and I'll tell you all about this good news of how God's kingdom has come near. And while I'm here, bring to me anyone in the village who's sick. I'll pray for them so that they can be healed. I can only stay for a few days because right now there are only 12 of us who are going to spread this good news. And we have a lot of places to visit to prepare them for the coming of the Lord. So over the next few days, James stayed with us and did just what he said. He healed the people that were sick. He even cured a few people of their blindness. And he taught us all about how God's promises were coming true in this man, Jesus. The history of Israel, the history of the world, was climaxing at this moment where Jesus was coming. And since I was just a visitor to that time, it took James a few days to explain this. Everyone else in the town back then seemed to just catch on very quickly. But since you don't remember being there, I'll try to give you the gist of what James had to say. James had to start back at the beginning, telling us how God created everything and called it good. God created humanity to care for and to govern the good creation and to live in close relationship with God. But humanity abused its freedom and turned away from God. Humanity rebelled against God's reign. Humanity began to think and to do evil. And humanity became imprisoned by evil. But instead of turning his back on humanity, God decided to choose someone that he would use to point people back to their true king. His name was Abraham. And even though he was very old and didn't have any children, God told him that he would have a huge family and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham's descendants would be the ones who would point the world back to its one true king, God. And so Abraham did have a son. He named him Isaac. And Isaac, in turn, had a son, and he named him Jacob. And it was Jacob that wrestled with God and went away limping but blessed. And God called Jacob Israel. Well, Israel had 12 sons, and from these 12 sons came the 12 tribes of Israel, to whom God gave a mission. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and said, I, the Lord, have called you for a good reason. I will give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to lead prisoners from prison, and those who sit in darkness from the dungeon. Well, you can see why this took James a very long time to explain to me. So, the 12 tribes were given a mission by God to be the people that pointed the world back to its one creator, God. They would show the world what it looked like when God was in charge, when God was king. And this was the job of God's people. This was their vocation. And because God had given them the law through Moses, the Torah, they would be able to be a holy people. They would be a people set apart among whom God would come to dwell. And through this, Israel would point toward the day when the whole earth would be full of God's glorious kingdom. But the message had not gone out. Sin had corrupted even God's law itself. And the law was unable to create the people in whom God would dwell and reign. the people who were supposed to fulfill the job of Abraham's family, the people who were supposed to be a blessing to others, they turned inward and they failed to live out their calling. But James brought us this good news. God is at last coming to dwell with his people, to make peace with those who had made themselves enemies. And to do this, God sent his own son. And this son, Jesus, was gathering around himself 12 disciples to represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the fulfillment of their mission at last. And even though we could tell it from his actions, James explained it in words. In God's kingdom, everyone is taken care of. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, whether you're an immigrant or you're a local, whether you're male or female, whether you're educated or uneducated, God is a just ruler that looks after his people. And then James told us even more good news. Through Christ, it is open season on citizenship in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now open to anyone who trusts in this good news and whose heart and whose life is changed as a result. God is making peace with those who have been enemies. God is giving out peace to anyone who will receive the good news with joy. And when you are at peace with God, God will come to dwell among you, even in you. And when James had finished telling us and showing us all these things, he said that he needed to go on to the next town. But after he left, we kept on praying that God's kingdom would come so that God's will would be done on earth. And Jesus himself came just a few weeks later. Here's the thing that blew my mind. Jesus gathered together all of us in the village who had received peace with God, everyone who accepted the good news of God's kingdom. And there were 70 of us that day. I expected that he would make us into a club or something, you know, just so that we could talk about how great it was to have peace with God. But just like that, he told us that he was now sending us out. We were to go out just like the 12 disciples had. I told you we were in the Bible. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And when he said that, I realized that I myself had become a laborer because of someone else's prayers for me. Because God had worked through James and others to give me this good news. Good news that I was desperate to hear and I didn't even know it. And then I thought about all the surrounding cities and villages. I realized that there were so many people that needed to hear this good news. They needed to know that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. They need to know that peace with God was now available, that they too could enter into the kingdom of God. They needed to know so that they too could go out and share this good news. They needed to know so that they too could go out and be this good news. And so we went out. And as you heard, some amazing things happened. Even the demons submitted to us. So we went back to Jesus and we told him, and he said that when we were out on mission, it was as if Satan was crashing down from the throne that he had usurped from God. Of course, we knew that God's reign hadn't come fully yet, but the forces of evil had been dealt a horrible blow as we lived out God's mission in the world. And then Jesus said something else incredible. He said, "Nevertheless, don't rejoice because the spirits submit to you. Rejoice instead that your names are written in heaven." This is what I think he meant. Whether you get to see the fruit of your labors or not, you can have joy, you can have peace, because you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. So, my future fellow time travelers, is God's peace with you? The scripture talks about this peace as a peace that passes all understanding. It's not dependent on your external circumstances. It's not dependent on whatever's going on in your life. It's a gift from God, and it comes to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to accept God's gracious offer of peace? A peace that makes a difference in your life. A peace that makes you the person that you walk into the room and people feel it. They feel that something is different. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus said that proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom was the reason for which he was sent. And if it's at the core of Jesus' message, and it's at the core of the mission that he gives to the 12, and then to the 70, I think you'll agree that it's worth spending some time on. It's kind of hard to explain what it means. So let me stay with you a few days, and I'll tell you all about this good news of how God's kingdom has come near. In the next 4 weeks, just to be clear, we're like back in 2016, you know, no more, I'm a time traveler, that was fun, you know. Anyway, in the next 4 weeks, I will be leading us to consider how we can be people who live up to our calling, who succeed in the mission that God is giving to us, just like he gave it to the 70, because we are in the Bible. And how can we be the people who point to the reality that Jesus, that in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has come near, to point the way to that reality for people that desperately need good news in their lives? And those who are reading their bulletins carefully notice that the word near in my sermon title is capitalized. In each of the next 4 weeks, we will be considering one attribute that we must cultivate in ourselves in order to be people who point the world to the nearness of the kingdom of God. The word near is going to serve as our mnemonic. God willing, each of the sermons will be available online at lansdowneumc.org. So go and check that out. I started recording about a minute into the sermon, so apologies to future you. No, tomorrow is the 4th of July. It's America's Independence Day. But right now, I want you to consider making it a dependence day. A day when you say, Jesus, I want your peace. I want you to reign in the whole world, but why don't you just start in my heart? I'm ready to receive your good news. And with your help, by depending on you, I'll be ready to be sent into the world to point people to the only true King. Will you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for your grace, which surprises us, which meets us where we are, but doesn't leave us there, which carries us into mission to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. We pray that this word might come into our hearts, that we could indeed be the people that you have created us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name.